Amen. You can take your Bibles, if you would, please. And I started a few weeks ago on a series entitled The Reality of Demons, The Reality of the Devil. And in part one of that teaching, I showed you that the devil was present in the Garden of Eden, and he immediately began to lie and to deceive the woman. That's what he did, and he didn't spend time, he didn't take time, he didn't think, that's his nature, that's what he did. Also showed you that the devil has a host of fallen angels who obey and fight at his command. And they fight against God and they fight against the things of God. I showed you that fallen angels are also called by different names in the Bible. They're referred to by different names. And I showed you that they're referred to as evil spirits. They're referred to as unclean spirits or lying spirits. Sometimes they're called familiar spirits or seducing spirits. Now, many times the names that they're given in the Bible define their activity and personality and function in a man, a woman, or in mankind. They're called jealous, haughty spirits, proud spirits, angry spirits, called a spirit of fear. They're called perverse spirits in the Bible. They're called spirits of whoredom. They're called dumb spirits, death spirits, spirits of infirmity. They're called spirits of divination. It's also a spirit of Antichrist. There's a spirit of error, and etc. But these all are names for the devil's henchmen, the devil's demons. I showed you that all devil spirits are unclean. They're all unclean. And there's a lot of devil spirits today that function in the world under the guise of friendly or good spirits. But they're not. They're not good. They're not friendly. All devil spirits are unclean. All of them are evil. They just cover the way they work. The devil wants to take the supernatural out of your mind. And once you separate the supernatural from God, okay, you no longer have the things of God and the depth and truth of God. Because God in and of himself is spirit. And he is a supernatural God, and he performs miracles. He has power. He has endued us with power. But the adversary doesn't want the Christian to walk in the supernatural. The adversary doesn't want the Christian to know about the supernatural. And the reason for that is that if you gain a knowledge spiritually of what's going on in your life, or in the lives around you, then you have the ability to combat that problem in a spiritual way. But if the devil can dismiss everything that's going on in your life or in the people's lives around you to physical or mental or pressure, or it's your job, or it's your whatever, then you'll never look to God in the spirit realm for the answer to your problem. You'll look to your chiropractor. You'll look to your acupuncture. You'll look to your bottle of pills. You'll look to your doctor. Now, some of those things in and of themselves are not evil, and some of those things people go to, and rightfully so. But never, never, never before God. I taught you in God's divine healing and wholeness, that that God wants you to have the need met. There was a man, I believe his name was Hezekiah. And Hezekiah was going to die. God sent a prophet to him. The prophet said, "You're going to die." Hezekiah said, "Don't you remember what I did and how I love you and such and such and such and such?" And it says, before the prophet got out of the palace, he was only to the middle court or somewhere, the word of the Lord came to the prophet. He said, "Go back and see Hezekiah." He said, "Tell him I'm going to add 15 years to his life." Okay? That was revelation. That was a tremendous healing because he didn't what? He didn't die. And he got 15 years added to his life. But you know what the rest of the record says? How did he get 15 years added to his life? They made some kind of salve up from a fig leaf or something. He said, "Take this and put it on what? The wound, and he'll what? He'll recover." Right? Now, did you ever think about that? You see, because if you're of the opinion that taking some type of a medicine to make you heal is wrong or is devilish, then you got to explain to me why the prophet was instructed to take some type of a medicine in that day and time, tell Hezekiah to put it on the wound and have him recover. The point is, God just doesn't always snap his fingers over an individual and miraculously heal them instantaneously. That particular king's healing came from a salve. That he came from something we would call a medicine. You understand? That's where that healing came from. Now, are you going to try to tell me that that healing wasn't from God? You can't. There's no way out of that. Because he did exactly what God told him to do. And the result was what? Did God have the power to say, "Go over there and snap your finger that he's going to be okay"? Absolutely. But he didn't do that. So there are circumstances and situations where God, by his choice, may decide to utilize medicine, may decide to utilize a doctor. That's his business. What do you care for? You understand? As long as you get the need met. Now, I'm talking about in a godly scenario, a godly situation. I'm not talking about a witch doctor. I'm not talking about selling your soul to the devil for your healing. That's, you understand? You got to have some logic about this. But you get people, and if they don't see a miracle, if they don't see whatever, they don't understand, okay, well, get the need met. Did Hezekiah pray? I'm sure he did pray. Did the prophet question and say, "Well, how come I don't wave my hand and just heal him?" No. The revelation was, tell him to put this thing on him and the boil's going to go away. He's going to be okay. And today, I might say, you know, go get an aloe plant, put it on there and you'll be okay. Or go see Dr. So-and-so and he'll hook you up with a shot of penicillin and you're going to be okay. See? So don't get so tunneled visioned into God and try to define God by what you think you know or what you think he should do. The point is, you get the need met, but you always go to God. And how God decides to direct you to get the need met, don't be so stupid to say, "Oh, I don't want to see somebody," or "I don't want to use a medicine." Because there's a lot of people that are that stupid and their children die. You read about them kind of stupid people in newspapers. And they think that they're believing God. They think that they're proving their faith in God while their child is dying, when all that kid needs is a little bit more of iron in his blood from a needle or some whatever, and they won't give it to their child because they're religious and they want to prove to everybody how smart they are and how spiritual they are, and they let their child die. I don't know what would happen to common sense in this world. It seems that the more education that is flooding into the country, the less common sense people have. and it's not a good thing. So, devil spirits are unclean. There's no good devil spirit. There's no good fortune teller. There's not a good witch and a bad witch like you saw in The Wizard of Oz. They're all bad. No matter how pretty they look, no matter how nice they talk, they're all bad. There's only two sources of spiritual supernatural power in the world today. And anybody who operates any supernatural power gets their power from one or the other or a combination of both. And they are the devil and his horde of demons. The other source is the true God, the God and Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ. We also saw that a devil spirit is called an evil spirit. It's also called in different translations a demon. Instead of reading devil spirit or evil, you'll read the word demon, a demon. Now, if you go to Psalm 104, or if you want to listen, that's okay too. Psalm 104, in verse 4, it says, "Who maketh his angels spirits?" Who maketh his angels spirits as ministers of flaming fire? God created the angels. And the angels were created, and they are spirit beings. An angel is a spirit being. He maketh his angels spirits. Revelation chapter 12, please. Verse 7 says, "And there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels." Okay? So you have Michael and his angels, which indicates that there is a hierarchy of angels. In this particular record, it says Michael and what? His angels. In other words, these particular groups of angels line themselves up under the head, in this particular record, angel Michael. Okay? Then it says the dragon fought and his angels. So you not only have a hierarchy in God's organized plan of creation with regards to angels, God, and then under God, there's Michael, for instance, in this particular record. And then under him would be these angels. And of course, above him would be Jesus Christ. Actually, and above him would be us, the word teaches. But there's an organized hierarchy in the evil realm. Because it says, "And the devil fought and his angels," the ones that are subordinate to him. So we see there's organization in the kingdom of the adversary, just like there's organization in the kingdom of God. But we saw that an angel is a spirit. An angel is a ministering spirit. It works for someone or something. It ministers, it works. And it's a spirit who is under authority. An angel is a spirit that is under authority. Look at Hebrews chapter 1, please. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13, says, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, 'Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool'?" Verse 14. "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" Now these are talking about the angels who work for God. And this category of angels, they're ministering spirits. And they are sent forth to minister to them that will be the heirs of salvation. So in other words, there's interaction between the supernatural and the natural. There's interaction between angels and mankind. Okay? Now, a lot of people take that and they run with it. And they run with it without reading the Bible. But there is interaction between angels and mankind, and that you can see in the Word of God. And I'm going to show it to you in the Word of God tonight. And that means, even to this day, that there are angels who interact in human affairs. You ever see the show Touched by an Angel? Well, a lot of those things aren't particularly accurate, but the concept where there are angels among us working and functioning in human affairs is very accurate and very true. See? And this, when you think about it, when you really think about it, it can be startling. It could be like out of space kind of stuff. That there's actually spirit beings sent by God who would walk on the earth and interact in human affairs. But the truth of the matter is, the Word of God teaches that. You see, the word angel is derived from the Greek word angelos. The word angelos means messenger or an envoy. An angelos is one who is sent. It's a messenger from God or the devil. One who is sent from God or the devil. Look at Psalm 148, please. Now, one of the things that you want to be sure of and be equipped with regards to your knowledge about angels, is that where did the angels originate? In other words, where did the angels come from? Now, you can all say whatever answer you want to spout out, and that's good, but it's better to read the Word and let the Word show you where the angels came from. And in Psalm 148, verse 1, it says, "Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights." Verse 2 says, "Praise ye him, all his," what? Angels. "Praise ye him, all his host. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that are above the heavens." And there's a teaching in that just in itself. Waters that are above the heavens. "Let them praise the name of the Lord." See? "For he commanded, and they were," what?
Amen.
"The preceding. The host, the angels, the sun, the moon, the heavens of heavens, the stars of the light, and the angels. He commanded, and they were created." All angels were created by God. All angels were created by God. Now, when you read the word angel, or you look at the word angel, or the Greek word angelos, when it's in the New Testament, the most favorite translation is the word angel. So, when you have the Greek angelos, the English usually will read angel. Angelos, angel. That's the way it usually reads. But sometimes, in the New Testament, it is translated by another word or a different word. When you read the Greek angelos, it won't be translated angel. Sometimes it's translated by the word, the English word, messenger. And if you look in Matthew chapter 11, in verse 8, this is Jesus Christ, excuse me, and he's talking about John the Baptist. And what he says is, "But what went you out to see?" To the people, Matthew 11, verse 8. "A man clothed in soft raiment. Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings," what?
Houses.
"But what went ye out for to see a prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger, my angelos, before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. And verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there had not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Here you see the word angelos in the Greek is translated by the English word messenger. It's messenger. You have the same truth in Mark chapter 1, verse 2. You can read this for yourself. You can go to Luke chapter 7, verse 27, where the Greek is angelos and the English, once again, is messenger. So here, an angelos is a messenger, and in this context, he's a messenger for the true God. He's one who is sent for the true God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, please. So an angelos can be translated angel, but it can also be translated messenger. But an angelos is one who is sent. He is sent by the true God with regards to John the Baptist. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 7, we read, And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger, the angelos of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So you see, the word messenger here, again, is the Greek word angelos, but it's a completely different type of messenger. The one we read with regards to John was a messenger for the true God, and not only a messenger, but he was the greatest born among women. And that came out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. If you're going to have somebody praise you, he's a pretty good guy to praise you, right? All right. He'd be a pretty good guy to shake your hand and say, well done, brother. But this particular messenger in Corinthians was the messenger of who? Satan. He was the messenger or the angel, the demon, the spirit, the messenger of Satan. You see, there are only two types of angels in the world. There are only two types of angels in the world. There's the holy, and there's the unholy. There's the good, and there's the evil. There's the clean, and there's the unclean. All angels fit into one of those two categories. It's either a good angel, or it's a bad angel. It's either a good messenger, or it's a bad messenger. There's only two to choose from. Now, there are other celestial beings that do not necessarily fit into the category of an angel. There are seraphim. There are the seven spirits of God. There are the elders that are recorded in the book of Revelation. These are all celestial beings. But there is a group of celestial beings that are spirit, and they are created by God, and they are termed angels. And of those angels, there are only two types. They're good angels or they're bad angels. Now, they have a lot of functions. They have a job to do. They have different positions. They have different power. However, all angels are either good or bad. There's no in between. There's not a third category. They're good or they're bad. All angels, either good or bad, are under the authority of God Almighty, every single one of them. However, because God created angels and mankind alike with the ability to have free will, an angel can choose whom they want to obey and serve. So another point is that an angel was created with free will. The angel has the faculty to choose, to think through, to logically reason, and come up with a conclusion. And they have free will. Some of those angels in the beginning were deceived, thought through the message that was presented to them from Satan, and they chose to follow him by the freedom of their will. Some of the angels heard the message from God, and chose to stand with God, the creator of the universe. But whether they chose to stand with Satan or they chose to stand with the true God, both categories are still under the authority of God. But God allows those disobedient spirits, because of the freedom of their will and because of the law of free will, to function the way they do. However, they are still under the authority of God. And when you are engaged in a spiritual battle, God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, forces that evil spirit, that evil angel, that demon, to submit to your command and authority and power in the name of Jesus Christ. And I've seen this in my life hundreds of times over and over again. Where in and of yourself, when you're involved in a spiritual battle, that the spirit, the angel would speak and the angel would bluff and the angel would say that. And when you command in the name of Jesus Christ, God forces that angel to bow. Every knee shall bow in heaven and earth and beneath the earth. You understand? Every knee shall bow to the name of who? Jesus Christ. They don't like it. They try to squirm out of it. But they have to bow. And God exercises that power and authority by Holy Spirit inside of the person who's walking in those manifestations. That's how that works. But those angels were created with free will. With free will. Therefore, because they were created with free will, they are free to choose who they will serve and obey. Some angels aligned themselves with Satan and rebelled against God early on, relatively speaking. They chose to follow and obey Satan, placing themselves under his authority. So far we've seen this. Fallen angels work for their God, the devil, and obey his command. We saw that all angels were created by God. We saw that angels have free will. We saw that all angels are spirit beings. Now, the last thing I want to show you tonight is that at times an angel may take on the form of a human. Okay? In Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, verse 1 says, "Let brotherly love continue." Verse 2 says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels, not knowing, unawares." So, it says, "Some have entertained a stranger." But in reality, that stranger was an angel. And that stranger, to them, they were unaware that that stranger was an angel. So that means one thing, and only one thing. That stranger was in the form of what? A human being. A human being. You ever see pictures of Martians? Huh? You all seen pictures of Martians. What color is a Martian? I don't know where we get that, but he's green, right? And how are their heads? Like oblong kind, and do they have big eyes? And you know, you all got these pictures, right? So if you entertained the Martian, would you be unaware?
No.
Not unless you were drinking a lot of Wild Turkey for several hours, right? You would know that it's a what?
Martian.
A Martian. Even Uncle Martin, my favorite Martian. Remember his antennas used to come out of his head?
Yeah.
That gave him away that he was a what?
Martian.
A Martian. And he was a good pretend because he looked like a person, but that gave him away. But some people have actually entertained angels and they were completely oblivious that there was an angel. So that can only mean that that angel looked like me or you. Now, there was no manifestation physical to let the person know that it was an angel. They didn't have wings popping out of their coat and then have to shove it back, right? Look, if I had wings, wouldn't you see my wings?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And then it wouldn't be unawares that you're entertaining me tonight. You would say, there's something wrong with that guy. He's got wings. And what I'm simply trying to teach you is that they look like people at times. They feel like people. They walk like people. They talk like people. They eat like people. They do a lot of things just like you and I do. So much so that you don't have the ability to tell them apart from people unless God shows you. Go to Genesis chapter 19, please. Now, this is interesting, and I'll tell you why it's interesting. Because it's the truth. And this is modern day. See, it didn't die with the apostles. These guys, these ministering spirits, are still walking the earth and are still sent to the earth by God today to do the things that their father would have them do, that God would have them do. Now, if you can get your mind around that, that's pretty remarkable. You may have met an angel at one point in your life and not even known it. And then you may have looked back on that experience and say, hey, I wonder if that was whatever. And you never saw that person again. It's God's prerogative how he intervenes. But you may have met him. You may have seen an angel. You don't know. Genesis 19. Look at this, verse 1. And there came two what?
Angels.
So what are we talking about? These guys are what? They're angels. They're angels. There came how many of them?
Two
angels to Sodom at evening. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face towards the ground. And he said, behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray thee, into thy servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your what?
Feet.
So these angels, these particular angels, had what?
Feet.
And in order to have feet, you got to have what?
Legs.
In order to have legs, you got to have what?
Body.
A butt. And your butt is attached to your what? Your belly. Your belly is attached to the chest and your chest. You understand? He said, come in and wash your feet. You shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, what?
No.
So angels can what?
Talk.
Angels can understand. This is really remarkable. Human beings. Yeah, either can I sometimes. But they can understand human beings. Don't worry about us. We'll hang out in the street. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him. So they can be convinced. They have free will. If it's written in the program, they can't be convinced to, you know, go kill God or whatever. But they can be convinced. And they turned in, and he entered into his house, and he made them a what?
Feast.
A feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did what?
Eat.
I told you the angels eat. Didn't I tell you that earlier? So they ate. And this guy doesn't have a clue what's going on. Because to him, these are just two men. They look like men. They walk like men. They got dirty like men. I mean, wash your feet. They spoke like men. They ate like men. And because of the custom known as constraining in the East, where you would go and you would invite someone in, because the Eastern person thought that if they would do service unto a stranger, that they would be doing service unto God. And when that stranger entered into their roof, they were bound by the custom to protect them with their very life. See? You saw this popular movie out about six Navy SEALs or whatever it was not too long ago. I forget what the name of the movie was. But this guy took this Navy SEAL and invited him under his roof. And he said he would die for this Navy SEAL. It was in a foreign country. The custom's still alive and it's still practiced today. Well, they made him a feast and they did eat. Verse 4. But before they lay down. So the angels were going to what?
Sleep.
They're going to sleep. This sounds like just like after you eat, your belly's full and you want to take a what? A nap. So before they laid down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house, both old and young, and all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and they said unto him, where are the angels?
No.
It doesn't say that. It says, where are the what?
Men.
The men which came into thee this night. Bring them out unto us, that we may have homosexual relationships with them. That's what it says. See? Mm-hmm. And it was the what? It says, bring out the men. Where are the men? So they couldn't tell by looking at these guys that they were what?
Angels.
Lot couldn't tell by looking at these guys that they were angels. And they were men. Just like you or I. That is a man. And the evil people of Sodom wanted to have they wanted to rape these men and have homosexual relations with them. And Lot went out and he shut the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray ye, brethren, it's just the way you're born and it's okay to do that.
No.
Don't say that. You know what it says? Do not so what?
Wickedly.
Wickedly. But you see, our government will never tell you that. Our school system will never tell you that. They will never tell you that it's a wicked act, that it's evil and vile and disgusting in the sight of God, and that God destroyed an entire city because of the evil of homosexuality that was in it at that day and time. How far have we come from the truth, people? Today, you can't even mention the word homosexual without getting attacked. Today, you can't speak the truth. Today, you can't stand up for what is right. You're called a hater. You're called all kinds of different names. You're not politically correct. The Hebrew word for the word men in verse 5, where it says, where are the men which came into thee this night? Is the word that is used in the Bible when it's addressing a male person. A male person. So the angels were men. And you couldn't tell they were anything other than men. Where are the men? Look at Leviticus chapter 18. And they wanted to rape them. And God said, because it's God's word, do not so wickedly. Do not so wickedly. Leviticus 18, verse 22 says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is a what?
Abomination.
Abomination. The word lie here is the word that means sexual relations. You should not have sexual relations with a man the way you have sexual relations with a woman. Because if you have sexual relations with a man, it's an abomination. That means it's a detestable thing. And see, this is what God says. This is God's word. Right? I just went through that. I told my wife there this week. We just had a little spat at the gym in the morning because I used a colorful word to describe a homosexual. And everybody in the room came at me and said, you can't talk that way. Shh, shh, shh. And when somebody says that to me, I immediately raise my voice 3 decibels and I repeat the colorful word 7 or 8 times. Because nobody's going to shut me up. Now they got to shut their mouths, because one guy's a teacher, and just, oh, a month, 2 months ago in the Norristown area high school, some teacher took liberty to write something on Facebook about the black riots, and she said or he said something that didn't quite agree with the public opinion and was politically incorrect. So all the wonderful black people that are in positions of power in Norristown got together, and you know what they did with that teacher? They got the teacher fired because the teacher voiced their opinion. You understand? Well, I work out in the gym with a teacher, and he can't voice his opinion because he gets fired. Now, I understand that, and I got nothing I hold against him. But I'm quick to tell him, you can't talk because you're not allowed to talk because you're under the thumb of the government. If you were honest and these people weren't here, all of you people, as a matter of fact, you're thinking what I'm saying. But you see, I have the freedom to talk because no government's going to come after me and shut my mouth up. Nobody's going to come to me at the end of the day and hand me my papers and say, you're fired. Nobody's going to come to me and say, you're losing your pension. See? Why is it that they wanted to try, unsuccessfully, to quiet me when the same homosexual in the gym can say GD or Jesus Christ in a bad way, and nobody's offended when they hear GD or Jesus Christ? Why is it that he's allowed to say that and everybody else is allowed to say that? Nobody gets offended about that, but because I use a colorful word or a word that they don't agree with to describe a homosexual, people want to come and hush me up and quiet me and try to push me into a room and say, you can't talk that way. You don't know me. Yes, I can. But nobody gets upset when they hear God damn this or Jesus Christ so and so. Now, why is that? Because I will be glad to refrain from using a colorful word out of respect for the individual. If you would be glad to refrain from using my Father and my Lord's name in blasphemy and in vain. Now that's a fair deal, wouldn't you say? I would. But see, they don't want to hear that. Because then I went into religion. And then I said, you know what the great disgrace is? And I covered them all because I was talking to a Jew. And there was a Presbyterian there. And there was an Episcopal there. And there was a damn rank unbeliever there. And I covered all the ones and I prefaced it first. Don't care what religion you are. I said, the truth of the matter is, they are challenging God Almighty and saying that God didn't know what he was doing when he set up genetics and that he made a mistake when that person was born a girl or a boy. And do you know what the Jew said to me? No offense against the Jews, because I love the Jewish people. I've got no problem with them. Jesus is going to Jerusalem. He's going to rule out of there. Jesus was a Jew, okay? The Jewish one said to me, I said, do you think God made a mistake? And you know what the Jew said to me? You would think they'd be the most religious out of them. They said, yeah, well, maybe. Maybe. Maybe God made a mistake. You're not supposed to be a boy. You're supposed to be a girl. And then they give you these little words like, it's a choice. It's a lifestyle. And you can have your choice. But don't push your choice down my throat. Don't make rules and regulations and say, I got to abide by your choice and throw my God and praying out of schools in the 60s. You understand? So you can put your choice in. Yeah. Leviticus chapter 20, please. Now, I was just minding my own business. And they all, you know, this is how they shut me up. They left. Yeah. And I was left in the room, and I was happy because I wanted the machine myself. And then when I was on the treadmill, as the one guy walked out, he said, the world according to Nick. I said, "You're a coward." And he kept walking out the door. Then he came down to the garage, where it was just me and him and my brother. And then he changed his tune, because he knew I wasn't going to rat him out. "I can't talk like that up there. What's the matter with you? You crazy?" "I ain't crazy." "Now, what are they going to do to me? I say that on Facebook, don't make me a hero. You say it, they'll fire you. They can't do nothing to me." "Oh, you should see the way they are, and they do this." And we have, what's a kind of a bathroom that two people go in called?
Unisex.
We got unisex bathrooms in our school. Mm-hmm. I said, "You got to be kidding me, right?" Mm-hmm. He said, "No, that's how perverted it is." That's what he's telling me, right? He won't say that up there, but that's how perverted it is. Like, I would want my little girl or some queer walking in on my little girl and she's, "I don't think so." Or vice versa. And that's normal. That's okay. There's something drastically wrong with normal today. Their definition of normal. Leviticus 20, verse 13. We read that. Mankind lies with womankind. They've committed abomination. They shall surely be what? Put to death, and their blood shall be upon them. Lucky that they don't live in the Old Testament. This is how strongly God opposes homosexuality. Now, how in the world can some preachers teach the opposite of this? How can they do that? I know how they can do it, because of what's inside of them. They're looking for the numbers. They're looking for the money. They're looking not to upset anybody. God wasn't concerned about upsetting anybody because he said they should be killed and their blood's upon them. And you got this big idiot in the paper, Bruce Jenner's. But he isn't Bruce Jenner's anymore. Now he's Caitlyn. And he's on the cover of Vanity Fair. And if I was a woman and I bought Vanity Fair, I'd never buy another Vanity Fair in my life. And everybody thinks he's this and everybody thinks he's that. And they gave him an award for the most heroic, courageous person. And there's another guy who lost an arm and lost a leg and runs in marathons in the war that he lost from serving our country. And you know what they call him? A murderer. He picks up a gun and he kills people. Now, there's something drastically wrong with the values of the United States of America and the government. Something wrong. Where you call a transvestite, a pervert, a hero, and you put them on the cover of Vanity Fair, and you take someone who lost limbs fighting for your freedom and you call him a murderer. Something wrong somewhere, people. And yet people are just petrified to speak up against this stuff. Look at Deuteronomy 22. What a disgrace. Is the world upside down, I'd like to say? And you know who, why? Because of the devil. Because he tries to silence the Christians. Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto the man, unto a man. Neither shall a man put on woman's garments. I guess Bruce didn't read that. And I guess all the preachers that are in Bruce's corner didn't read this verse either. Neither should a man put on woman's garments. For all, not some, for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord our what? There you go. And I'll say it again, because I've said it before with people that, even in fellowship, and it pisses them off. If you are upset by what I'm teaching, your mind has been deceived and perverted, and you have bought the logic of the adversary, and you find yourself defending evil. Because I'm being very nice. I'm just speaking the truth. Did I say that they're evil people, they're bad people, they should be shot, they'd be shot? I never said that. They're good people. You should love those people. But what they're doing is wrong. And to try to teach that their perversion is right is even more wrong. It's evil. It's diabolical, and it has an end to it. Look at Judges chapter 13. Angels were sent to Sodom. They were disguised as men. They tried to rape those angels. In return, Sodom got what? Burned. Toasted. Judges 13 verse 1 says, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorath, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the what? Angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren, and thou bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now, therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine or strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. And the woman came and she told her husband, saying, what? A man of what? God came unto me. Well, we read in the beginning that it was a what? An angel. So to this woman who's going to bear this kid, and by the way, his name's Samson, did she know he was an angel? No, because the angel took on the form of a man. And in her mind, the best that she could do was that he was a man of what? A man of God. And his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. And I asked him not for where he was, and he told me his name. Judges 13:8. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do for the child in which he shall be born. See? So again, this angel that delivered this message to this couple that they were going to have a child came in the form of a man. And to them, he was just a man of God. So what have we seen in this particular segment? We saw that all angels are created by God. Psalm 148, verse 5. He commanded and they were created. We saw that all angels have free will. Revelation, you had angels fighting with Michael by their free will, and you had angels fighting with the dragon by their free will. We saw in Psalm 104, he maketh his angels spirits. We saw that all angels are spirit beings. Judges 13, 1 through 5, with regards to Samson. Genesis 19, 1 through 6, with regards to Sodom and Gomorrah, we saw that at times, an angel may take on the form of a what?
Person.
A person, a human being. And then we briefly looked at the deception and perversion of the homosexual lifestyle. The same lifestyle that's been being shoved down our throats and our children's throats today. It doesn't give you a right to hate them, to hurt them, or to slander them. But it doesn't give them a right to promote their evil and teach it for truth. Everybody know what it is to commit adultery if you're married?
Yes.
Okay. You see, when a person commits adultery, they know it's wrong. All right? They don't go to the government and say, we want to be protected as a class of people. And we want the fact that we commit adultery to be taught in our schools as an acceptable lifestyle. Right? That's what the homosexual did. The lesbian movement. They know it's wrong. The Bible says it's wrong. Okay? The person who commits adultery doesn't stand up and wave his hand and isn't proud about it. At least he's got enough sense in his brain to know that I better do this behind closed doors because I don't want to get caught. But these guys are so bold and so perverted and so diabolically twisted, because there's a plan to this, that they not only commit something that's wrong and condemned by the Word of God and by God Himself, they turn around and challenge God, challenge sections of the Bible, want to rewrite laws, and not only want to do that, want to teach it as normal behavior and acceptable lifestyle to our children. That's why the homosexual movement is so filthy and evil. Not because they do what they do, what they want to do behind closed doors, because that's been going on for 1,000 years. And that's their privilege, and they have free will to do that, and you should love those people and interact with those people the best you can. But when they cross over the line and they get legislation drawn up and bills passed to say that we're going to make you accept this as an acceptable lifestyle, and we're going to force your children to be exposed to this in first grade, my two mommies. And if you haven't watched TV lately with all these homosexual shows on, okay, they're coming at it real hard. See? They don't have a right to do that. They have no right to do that. They have no right to put that stuff in my face and say, we're protected. This is such and such. And instead of people being quieted and saying, don't take the name of the Lord God in vain in the gym, when I used a colorful word to describe a homosexual, they all came at me and said, oh, you can't talk that way. So-and-so is a homosexual. The guy's in the gym. That's what I said. And then I raised my voice, said, I don't give a rat's that so-and-so's at. Where's so-and-so at? I'll tell him to his face. He's wrong. It's sin. It's detestable. It's disgusting. And then they just start to scurry out of the room because they can't control you. They can't control you. But the government can control you if you work for the government. The school board can control you if you work for the school board. Your company can control you if they have policies in place if you work for them. And should you respect their policies? Yes. But, it's so perverted, so perverted. Why should a guy who's worked 40 years for a school district lose his pension for voicing his opinion? If I was that guy, I wouldn't do it. You understand? He'll tell me in the back room somewhere where we're alone, but he's afraid to speak out in public. And you know what? That's what they wanted. That's exactly what they wanted. They wanted to get everybody in a position where they can't speak the truth. He can speak the truth because he can't get fired. He can, you can speak the truth. Yeah. I can speak the truth. You can speak it now. Right? But your tongue is tied. Pretty much. Yeah, give you a couple years. But you can't, it's not that she's bad or she's not fighting for God. It's just, what the hell do you expect this woman to do? That's her job, that's how perverted it is, that's how twisted, that's how evil it is. They're so smart in what they do. And they made sure that they got that grip on you. Amen. So Father, thanks for your word, and not that people or whatever, and that's not the message. The message is that you should be exalted, you should be listened to, you should be the one that is being protected, or people being upset when your word is being slandered, or when your son is being slandered, or when you're being slandered. Everybody forgets about you, Father, but thank God that we haven't, and that we can speak your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.